Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
I almost, I want to beatbox so that you can rap. Your rap was like the high five hood around South Africa yesterday. How are you this morning?
I realized I did go a tad English with my rap, didn't I?
No, you killed it. You killed it like you were from Compton. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you.
Okay, no, I'm serious. I got tweets. I got tweeted about it. I got WhatsApps about it. I mean, people were like, Adam is on fire. And you were.
Well, the album is out next week.
So yes.
For anyone who wants to download, obviously.
Good. I'm excited. Okay. The one thing that you would need to be a good rapper is to be a criminal. So are you involved in the global crime sting?
It's an extraordinary thing, this, isn't it? Yeah.
It certainly is.
We have reported on one or two global stings before and thought they were impressive. This is so big, and the tentacles of this crime sting reach right down into all sorts of gangs, so much so that they're not even saying really that much about it. So what we know is that 800 suspected criminals have been arrested worldwide. This was an FBI sting, but with all sorts of other police involved, and particularly in Australia. They sort of began with this Australian crime master who'd been living in Turkey and then worked their way through. And they have ultimately, as well as arresting 800 people, they have also seized drugs and weapons and luxury vehicles and cash, 250 guns, 8 tons of cocaine, all sorts of currencies and cryptocurrencies and counterfeit currencies. The Australian Prime Minister called it a heavy blow against organised crime. And it does appear to be that. And although they haven't said all the countries involved, we know there have been arrests in the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Turkey, Sweden and the Netherlands. And 9,000 police officers involved.
Wow.
And the two really clever bits about this is they created a network called Anom, which is essentially a sort of WhatsApp for criminals. And loads of them signed up, drugs, gangs, links to the mafia, you name it. And they also managed, don't ask me how, and they don't explain how here, 12,000 specially encrypted mobile phones were kind of passed around, and they managed to get them into the hands of the gang. So obviously these mobile phones are feeding them information, and they got 12,000 of these into the hands of the criminals all around the world. And from that, they obviously just absolutely were in clover with all the information, and ultimately this enormous bust.
Adam, what was at the heart of getting the bust? Is it the cryptocurrency? Because this was exactly the risk that we made. I think most of us were concerned about when crypto became much more prolific, was it is kind of, you know, the whole notion of no regulation, not being able to be seen by the establishment. It kind of was already a feeding ground for the dark web and everything that occurs there.
Well, it was certainly part of it. I wonder if it was the heart of it. I'm not sure. The number one guy they targeted, Hakan Ayak, this guy living in Turkey of Australian background.
He's hot, though,
a drug
Adam.
Trafficker. Yeah.
He's kind of hot. Yeah, he's got like tats and everything. No, he's very cute. Anyway,
yeah,
he's a criminal. Carry on, yeah.
He's unbelievably evil and has people, allegedly, has had people murdered on his behalf. That was drug trafficking. So they're also dipping into the Asian crime syndicates. And again, drugs seem to be at the heart of that. But there's so much involved. And of course, that's one of the things about today's modern criminal is that they're not just sort of stealing handbags from old ladies. You know, they are then getting involved in all sorts of branches of crime because, you know, you've got to diversify, it seems, if you're going to be a criminal.
You're absolutely right. And then, speaking of, I think this sounds like a crime. Who punches a crocodile?
Isn't this extraordinary?
I've heard of
punching a shark before. Isn't that? I mean,
that's how you get away from a shark. Yeah.
Desperate. I mean, if you've got nothing else you can do, preferably I'd rather hop back onto the boat or pull myself up onto the beach. But yeah, if there's nothing else to do, punch the shark. And so, exactly this for two sisters who are swimming in a lagoon in Mexico, Georgia and Melissa Laurie. And the first they knew, or for certain the first that Georgia knew about this, was when her sister Melissa was being dragged underwater. And at first, of course, they didn't know what's going on. They're splashing, what are you doing, Larky? And then realizing it's a crocodile that's got hold of her twin sister, dragging her under. So she sort of splashed over and just started punching the crocodile in the face and just kept going and kept going. And eventually the croc released Sister and they scrambled ashore. Now, Sister is not in a good way. She's in an induced coma because they're very worried about infections, both from the crocodile bite and from the state of the water that they were swimming in. But she has survived, and so has twin sister, who's also obviously under observation as well. But quite something, yeah, I suppose an act of desperation. If in doubt, punch it in the face.
Impressive. And then finally, a monkey statue? Where? I can't pronounce this. Help me.
In Hartlepool.
Hartlepool,
Hartlepool, yes, up in the northeast of England, in Yorkshire sort of territory. Now, this is one of the great stories, which will tell you that sometimes if you take war, racism, prejudice, violence, stick them all together and then make it 200 years later, it's kind of funny. I know. It is. Trust me. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the fact that there is a statue to this in Hartlepool, and councillors are now playing with the idea they'll need to put an explanatory plaque on it, because otherwise this statue might look at first hand odd / racist. It is a statue of a monkey. And what this statue actually alludes to is that 200 years ago, slightly over, when we were at war with France, the Napoleonic Wars, and all hell was breaking loose all over Europe, and the good people of Hartlepool had never seen any Frenchmen. There was a shipwreck off the coast of Yorkshire, and the only survivor of this shipwreck was a monkey, which obviously they'd kept on board as a mascot. The monkey managed to make it to shore, swam to shore somehow, or was on a bit of driftwood or something, made it to Hartlepool, stumbling ashore. The good people of Hartlepool thought it must be a Frenchman because they'd never seen one, and promptly hanged him in the town square because they thought the monkey was a Frenchman. So here we are.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm so glad they didn't say African. Go with Frenchman. That's great. That's excellent. That's
hectic. Isn't it gloriously racist and yet daft?
Oh, my word.
And it is why, by the way, Hartlepool Football Club are to this day still nicknamed the Monkey Hangers.
Oh, wow. You guys really know how to hold on to a story over there. Jeepers. All right. Well, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thank you so much, Adam. Appreciate these wonderful stories.